Good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN here on the first Tuesday of 2021, January 5th. And it is our chance to interview some folks from the city of Manhattan. They have a city commission meeting coming up tonight, 7 p.m. And we have with us on Zoom here today, City Manager Ron Fear. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
We have Mayor Yusha Reddy. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Great to be here.
And Mayor Pro Tem Wynn Butler. Good morning.
Good morning.
And this is a tradition here. Every year we bring on the incoming mayor and the outgoing mayor on the show. It's kind of a procedural thing that will take place tonight. And first, let's talk a little bit about the tradition here of why it is the way it is here in the city of Manhattan, for those that don't know the history.
Sure, Brandon. So traditionally, under the form of government we have in Manhattan, the mayor is elected from within the commission, and that tradition stems from the number of votes received during the election for those positions. So every 2 years on the odd years, we're electing three new commissioners. The top two vote getters get a four-year term and are in line to be mayor, and then the third place finisher gets a two-year term. And so it's on that order of how they finished is how they're seated traditionally. There's nothing that specifies that that's the way it's going to be. It is just a time-honored tradition for how that occurs. And so, for example, tonight, as tradition, we call this our reorganizational meeting. Normally, this is only the second time we've done this in January, because the legislature changed the service dates for local government folks, and we used to do this in April. And so this is our second time of doing this. And in the last city elections, Commissioner Morse was the top vote getter. So she would be traditionally in line to become mayor pro tem. And Wynn is in, as Mayor Pro Tem, was in line to become mayor. So the commissioners vote on that amongst themselves, and that tradition has been pretty steadfast over the years.
All right. Well, it's always neat to hear some of the historical traditions that go on here in our city. And Mayor Reddy, I might just ask you, you know, as you see your term expire here as mayor, what a year it's been to be mayor, I suppose. I don't know if anyone's gone through quite the circumstances as mayor as you have this past year, but talk a little bit about what that's meant to you.
Yeah, it's been an extraordinary year, I think, for all of us. And the good thing with the city of Manhattan is, unlike other cities, all five commissioners are still part of that decision process. So anything that passes still takes a majority of votes. So it's not run just by the mayor, but the priorities are set, or I can bring forth more priorities when talking about agenda and such. But the pandemic has definitely been front and center as far as the top 10 priorities for the city of Manhattan. So working closely with Kansas State University, our business sector, USD 383, Fort Riley, making sure we are on message, whether it's about the precautions or about face masks or loans or grants that we might be having. That's been a continuous conversation. And then there were so many meetings online with the governor's office, with the White House office, with our local RCHD. Community office and K-State. So there was constant meetings, all of them on Zoom, trying to keep up. And the information has just been changing sometimes on a daily basis. So the communication, even with our city manager, to make sure we're doing everything right. It's been challenging, but I'll say this community has really done well. And I think our numbers would have been much, much higher than what they are right now if we didn't put some things into place early on. I think the fact that we have, 22 deaths is remarkable, considering that we've had at least four or five in just the past few weeks. But our surrounding communities are not doing as well. So I think it's been, I felt we needed to do some things differently, such as face masks and such. But I think the community has also moved in that same direction. So it's been a great year. It's been challenging, but I think, you know, it's a community we all love and we all work together and we all try to do the right thing for our people here.
And you know, governing in a time like this, when everything is so polarized, it's probably difficult. Not everyone's going to agree on everything. Can you talk a little bit about what that's been like working out through some of these conversations with the your fellow commissioners?
Sure. I think, you know, the five of us, we actually agree on more things than we don't. Most of the items that we have passed 5-0, and some of the things that haven't, whether it was by a 3-0 vote or a 4-1 vote, whatever it might be, we all represent the community. And I think the our residents also agree with the commissioners that we, even if we don't agree with each other, they were elected. So they also represent the folks that agree with them. And I think they brought that voice to the table. That includes me and my four colleagues. So I think it's been a robust conversation. I think it's been civil. It wasn't hate spewing or anything of that sort. I think we carried on our decision-making skills as much as we can. And sometimes a majority of three is what took place as opposed to a 5-0. You always want the consensus and have a 5-0 vote, but sometimes that's not possible. So I think our community represents just a lot of communities in Kansas and within the United States. But I, you know, I think that that's why we were elected, to make sure we are representing everybody.
Sure. I'll bring on Mr. Butler here as well. As you become mayor here in 2021, what are some of your priorities, I guess, for the new year?
Well, I view the mayor's position a bit differently. I mean, our system of government basically says the mayor is a ceremonial role. And so I shouldn't really have any priorities. They should be the commission's priorities. And that's how I intend to handle it.
All right. Very good. Well, you know, one thing that's for certain is, you know, and we heard a little bit about this yesterday with the legislative meeting, is for the most part, there's a lot of uncertainty here in 2021 because of revenues. We're not really sure what that's going to look like. Overall, from an economic standpoint, how do you guys feel the city is doing in terms of finances? And I'll let Rhonda, you want to start there, and we'll get responses
sure,
from each
I'd,
of you.
I'd be glad to do that. You know, when this thing first hit us in last March and April, and it looked like it was going to have a very significant impact on the community and our revenue streams, and certainly that's prevailed in some areas. In other areas where we thought we would be down, such as sales tax, we thought anywhere from 20% to 30%. We'd have reductions just from lack of activity, and we ended the year just about 2% under what our previous 2019 numbers were. And a good reason for that has been the increase in online sales. So the compensating use tax was about 25% higher for the year. I think it was about 30% higher at the state of Kansas. So that didn't necessarily help our local businesses. Some of them did switch to an online platform, but certainly as folks were working from home and being home more and more reluctant to get out and engage our retailers, it was very convenient for them to order things online. And with the changes that the state made last year, that was important for us to collect more online revenue than it had in the past. So I think that was certainly very impactful for the state of Kansas and assisted local units of government as well. So the other thing that we did, obviously anticipating these significant revenue shortfalls, is we made some major cuts in our programs. And some of that was revenue based, and a decision that, you know, where can we cut expenses? And that was essentially eliminating all of our summer seasonals and those programs in Parks and Recreation took the big brunt of that and created significant savings for us, put a hiring freeze on, and we're still struggling to come back and start filling some of those positions. So those savings were significant for us. We had more than $2 billion, more than $2 million in additional savings than we typically have had in our general fund. So as we start the new year, we're probably stronger financially than we have been in a long time because of those cuts that we made. And that we didn't achieve a loss in revenue primarily in the sales tax like we thought we would. We also have gotten some CARES funding, both from the Spark, $2.9 million through Riley County and the state of Kansas, that has certainly helped. And then also we got some federal funds from the FAA and our airport revenue, because that's fallen off significantly. And that's carrying over into to this year. So that'll help us a little bit more from that standpoint. So certainly we're much better off than we thought we would be, but we're cautious moving forward. So, you know, I haven't seen an analysis of how folks did on their first half property tax payments that were due in December. So, you know, we know there's a lot of challenges out there as a lot of the different programs that were meant to help prevent some aspects, whether that be, you know, mortgage assistance, rental assistance, those kind of things. Will they continue to kick in? And obviously there's a new CARES Act bill that was recently approved in DC, and still trying to wait and see what all is going to come out of that and how that will impact us as a community. So, you know, we do have certain sectors, though, that are still hurting significantly. You know, our transient guest tax revenue, obviously the conference center, not having meetings, a lot of folks not anxious to get out in significant numbers for meetings or even just engaging at restaurants. So that transient guest tax, not having the visitors, not having the tourism, not having the special events, all of those things significantly impacting the lodging industry, the guest industry businesses, restaurants. The other aspect is our special alcohol tax. So several entities are dependent on that. That comes in. So this is the liquor by the drink taxes. So then your restaurants and bars and that, it's not packaged liquor sales. And those numbers are down significantly as well. Off both of the TGT and the special alcohol are 30 to 40% off what they typically would be. So how we make up for that, whether we get additional CARES Act funding might be eligible. So a third of those special alcohol taxes go to agencies that do prevention and treatment and education programs. A third goes to the city's general fund, and a third goes to the special park and rec fund. So those, we think those will continue to lag this year. And so how we account for making up some of those provisions will be important for us.
All right. I got to take a break here. We'll continue the conversation here in a moment. In Focus returns after this on News Radio KMAN.